while they're making their way to Kids Corner, let's go ahead and pause and pray together, shall we? Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we gather together here this morning as your people, called by you, made alive and justified by you. Father, I ask that you would indeed send your Holy Spirit to be present in our midst, that we would know and feel your strength, your presence, and your love for us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today we're going to be finishing up our series on the Holy Spirit. We've spent the last 6 weeks looking at the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And today what I'd like to do is wrap things up by talking about the indwelling presence of the Spirit in your life, in my life, and in our life together. And I want to do that basically by distilling all that we've been talking about over the last couple weeks into three key ideas of what the Holy Spirit does. If you recall, we started this journey all the way back at Ascension Sunday and continued through Pentecost in the last couple weeks, looking at who is the Holy Spirit as the third person of the Trinity, the Lord, the giver of life. We've looked at what is it that the Holy Spirit does in terms of the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, the work of the Spirit. And as we wind this down, I want to distill all of this into three ideas for you, that the Holy Spirit mediates to you and to me the presence of Christ, the power of Christ, and the promises of Christ. So I don't usually alliterate in my sermons. I know some clergy and preachers just do it all the time. I try to avoid it if at all possible. But for today, we're going to be talking about the work of the Holy Spirit as the one who mediates the presence of Christ, the power of Christ, and the promises of Christ. So first, the presence of Christ. Jesus tells his disciples and his followers that where two or three are gathered together in his name, he will be in the midst of them. Now, if you recall at Ascension Sunday, we talked about the fact that just as Elvis has left the building, Jesus has left the earth and is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. So in a very real sense, Jesus is not here, but yet he says, I will be in the midst of you. How does that reality come to be? And the answer is that the presence of Jesus in our midst comes to us through the Holy Spirit. But even more so than that, we're told, we're promised in the Scriptures that the Holy Spirit will come and not just dwell in our midst, but also within each and every one. Paul tells the Corinthian church, he says, don't you know, don't you realize that you yourselves are the temple of the Holy Spirit and that God dwells within you? And so that the body of Christ, the body of the faithful, are in a very real sense the new temple. In the Old Testament, where did the Holy Spirit live? In a 10 by 10 room in the back of the temple. In the New Covenant, where does the Holy Spirit live? In the hearts of those who follow Jesus. So the Holy Spirit is the one who mediates the presence of Christ. In our midst, we can say he really is here. And we also can say that he lives within me through the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's the presence of Christ among us and in us through the Holy Spirit. Secondly, the power of Christ. And this is, I think, the aspect of the work of the Holy Spirit that we've most recently been talking about. We've talked about how the Holy Spirit comes and gives gifts, abilities to the body of Christ for the building up, for the work that God has given us to do. That the Holy Spirit has given us gifts to do the work that he has given us to do. And part of the challenge and the question that I put before us is to take some time and say, what is it that God has given to me through his Spirit for the work that he's given us to do? But the Holy Spirit also comes in power to give life and to change us, that we experience healing and forgiveness and understanding and really indeed an empowerment to be the people of God that does not come from ourselves. It only comes through the power of Christ in us through the Holy Spirit. So again, there's a sense that the power of God has to be at work among us corporately and also at work within us individually if we're ever going to do the work that God has given us to do. Because the only way that we can do the work that God has given us to do is if it's through His power, not ours. And then thirdly, the promises of Christ. What is it that Jesus has done for us? We talked about this in my rector's Bible study this morning, that the gospel pronouncement, the good news, is in fact good news for sinners. Because in the gospel, we find what? Forgiveness of sins. That's what Jesus said to the religious leaders when he healed the paralytic, so that you may know that the Son of Man has the authority to do what? To forgive sins. Well, you can't do that. Only God can forgive sins. And Jesus kind of says, exactly. He doesn't say that in this text, but you can, you know, I'm sort of improvising a little bit, but you get the point. That we have in Christ the promise of the forgiveness of sins, the hope of resurrection, and a place at God's banquet feast in heaven. And what the Holy Spirit does is assures us of those promises. Paul writes that the Holy Spirit is the deposit, the guarantee of your inheritance. Think of the Holy Spirit as the deposit slip with your safe deposit box at the bank. How do you know it's there? You've got your ticket, right? That's the Holy Spirit serving as the guarantor of the promises that God has made to you and to me in Jesus Christ. The promise of forgiveness of sins, of restoration, and of a place at God's eternal heavenly banquet. So these are the key things that come to us from Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit. That He has come to mediate among us and in us the presence of Christ Himself, the power of Christ, and the promises that God has made to us in Jesus Christ. And those are there through the Spirit for our edification and for our joy.